Welcome to Timeless Truth with Pastor Jim Thomas, a resource of the Village Chapel in Nashville, Tennessee. This season, we're giving our attention to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We invite you to read ahead in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7. We're also introducing a new schedule, releasing new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. May the Lord use these studies of God's Word for your good and for His glory. Now, here's Pastor Jim.
So as we closed out our previous episode, introducing the overall Sermon on the Mount, I use this John Stott quote. It, the Sermon on the Mount, describes what human life and human community look like when they come under the gracious rule of God. And what do they look like? Different. That's John Stott from his commentary. Excellent commentary. If you're going to buy one commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, go and get John Stott's commentary. I will start today's episode when we introduce the Beatitudes with another John Stott quote. It goes like this: for the essential theme of the whole Bible from beginning to end is that God's historical purpose is to call out a people for himself, that this people is a holy people set apart from the world to belong to him and to obey him, and that its vocation is to be true to its identity, that is, to be holy or different in all its outlook and behavior. And I've said this before, our Christian faith is designed to first be about the ontological part of who we are. That is, ontology is the study of being, the kind of persons we are. And from out of the kind of being that we are flows our biography. So ontology precedes biography. Biography flows from ontology. Your story should flow from who you are, your identity. And for Christian believers and Bible believers, our identity is in Christ. And so we turn to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, especially to see what the good life, the flourishing life, looks like. So today, I want to give you just the Beatitudes. I just want to give you a little bit of an introduction to those. Some people count them as eight. Some people count them as nine statements of Jesus describing the blessed life. Now, you can go with eight. You can go with nine. It doesn't matter. I'm going to treat it as nine myself because there are nine different times he says the word blessed, proclaiming someone to be blessed. And today I just want to talk a little bit about the structure and perhaps some of the just the literary devices that Jesus used in the Beatitudes. Okay, so we'll have, again, 10 or 15 minutes together each day. And I want to encourage you, once again, to be reading the Sermon on the Mount at least once each week for the 6 weeks that we'll be together on Timeless Truth here. So today, intro, structure, and literary style of Jesus. The third episode, this is the second episode, so the next episode, we'll look at Beatitudes number one and number two, the poor in spirit and those who mourn. In our fourth episode, we'll look at Beatitudes number three and four, that is, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are amazing statements of Jesus. Episode five will be the merciful and the pure in heart. Episode six will be the peacemakers and those also who suffer for righteousness. And you're already starting to see how filled with paradox these statements are. And I hope it's intriguing to you. And I hope you'll walk along with me as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. The seventh episode will be, if you're counting them as nine Beatitudes, those who are persecuted by association with Jesus and how they are reviled but rejoicing somehow. So the Sermon on the Mount, it's just brilliant. There's no, there really is no superlative that I think goes far enough in describing how wonderful this sermon is. Sinclair Ferguson says, it's not a sermon about an ideal life in an ideal world, but about the kingdom life in a fallen world. And so here in the Beatitudes, the first section of what we've come to call the Sermon on the Mount, which would be Matthew 5, 1 through 12, Jesus offers 8 or 9, however you count them, 3-part statements that showcase the blessedness and the character qualities of true disciples of Jesus, apprentices or followers of Jesus, if you prefer. These kinds of statements are called makarisms. They describe, and that's because of the word blessed. It comes from the root word makarios, New Testament word, and it means flourishing, blessed. And so these makarisms describe the current conditions and the lasting benefits of those who have become members of God's kingdom. So this makarism is sort of a proclamation or an ascription by Jesus of blessedness. In other words, these are the people who are truly blessed and divinely blessed in Jesus' view. Now, first, by the simple fact that they all begin with that word blessed, makarios, I need to spend just a moment on that. It's the same word they use to describe, the ancient Greeks used to describe whenever they thought their gods, their little g gods, were in a blissful state. They used makarios also as a nickname for the island of Cyprus. I think it was based on the last name of one of the ancient governors or ancient mayors of one of the towns on Cyprus. But it was said that the place, the island, was such a happy place that one would want to go. If you went there, you would never want to leave. You'd have everything you need, everything you ever wanted. And so, makarios, you would be blessed indeed. Now, secondly, these statements are all 3-part statements. I think that's really important to notice. So you have the ascription of blessedness in that makarios, that pronouncement of blessing by Jesus. And then you have, in the middle, a condition of life. So the first one, which we'll get to in our next episode, blessed are the poor in spirit. So that's the condition of life, those who are poor in spirit, those who are, I'm going to save that for next episode. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But each of the Beatitudes will have that pronouncement of blessedness, and then secondly, a condition of life, and thirdly, a description of how God responds to that person. And I find this really fascinating. It's also, when you think about it, as we go through them, I'll try to point this out, but when you think about it, it's why Jesus can say, for instance, that the poor in spirit are blessed, because that's an odd adjacency, isn't it? You wouldn't right off the top of your head say, oh, the happiest people in the world are the people that are poor in spirit. You know, they've got nothing to offer or nothing to bring. So that's really where we'll go to in the third segment of each statement, because these aren't rules for us to obey. I know a lot of people think they are. A lot of people say, oh, I live by the Beatitudes. You know, I believe in God. I live by the Beatitudes, blah, blah, blah. And more often than not, if you ask them to name the Beatitudes, they might not be able to do that at all. But they're not rules for us to follow. I think that's really important for you to know. This isn't a list of live up to these things, and if you do, then you will be called blessed, or then you somehow or another have earned your way and entrance into God's kingdom. The fact of the matter is, Jesus will say over and over again, this entering the kingdom thing is actually about a new birth. It's about something you can't do. You can't achieve. You must simply receive. And so the statements are 3-part, this pronouncement of blessedness. Secondly, that condition of life. Thirdly, that benefit that describes how God responds to those kinds of persons. And then fourthly, there's another thing I want to just point out is that King Jesus promises to be faithful in a way that meets the deepest needs of the most needy among us. And that's what we'll see in the Beatitudes. And that's one of the reasons why he can say, blessed are all of the list of people who have these conditions in life. These members of the kingdom of the heavens can be said to experience true flourishing in life because of the faithful love of their sovereign King. Now, just a word about blessedness before I let you go. And we'll pray, by the way, we're going to pray the scriptures as we go through our study of the Sermon on the Mount as well. But here's what Makarios is not. Here's what happiness is not, or blessedness is not. See, with all the rich and powerful people in this world who talk about how meaningless their lives are and how hollow they feel, they're rich, they're powerful, they've achieved much, they've accomplished much, they've acquired much, and yet life still seems wanting, hollow to them. Hasn't it become just undeniably obvious that Jesus was not here talking about you and I getting lots of cash, or how many condos at the beach, or how many vintage cars we drop? No, that's not what he's talking about, is it? And even in our own day and time, like I said, with all the famous people who seem to have it all, but have sadly become total burnouts, end up in a clinic, recovery clinic or something, their lives covered, smothered in despair. Isn't it obvious to even the least spiritual among us that flourishing is not really about fame and fortune? What is happiness? What is flourishing according to Jesus and according to the Beatitudes? Well, I don't want to sound like I'm being dishonest or that achievement or accomplishments cannot bring us moments of happiness or euphoric feeling of some kind. But I'm not talking about how to find a fleeting momentary rush of good feelings. I'm talking about, and Jesus was talking about, a flourishing soul with a deep-seated joy, real contentment, and a true sense of fulfillment in life. And if you're interested in that, then stick with me. This is going to be an amazing study. Here in the Beatitudes, Jesus is going to say that happiness is inextricably tied to our life with God. It's not found in money, sex, or power, any variations of those themes. Because we were designed for relationship, happiness is tied in with the two most important relationships we have. Happiness is being in right relationship with God and in right relationship with our neighbors. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is going to be all about. In the middle third of each beatitude, Jesus names, as I said, a condition in life, a characteristic or a quality of the one who is blessed. These characteristics Jesus chooses are strange to the world's standards. We find ourselves asking, who are these poor in the spirit? Who are those who mourn? Who are the meek? Really? But stay with me. I think you're going to really find this fascinating, that Jesus talks about the truly good life as we're all looking for it. It's wrapped up in being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Maintaining a kingdom perspective in life, holding to kingdom values, and living our lives in right relationship with God and our neighbors. A couple quotes before I let you go. Jonathan Pennington, excellent commentary on the Beatitudes called The Sermon on the Mount and Human Flourishing, I think is the full title. He says, Jesus's macarisms are grace-based wisdom invitations to human flourishing in God's coming kingdom. I love that. That's great. Jesus' macarisms, the Beatitudes, are grace-based wisdom invitations to human flourishing in God's coming kingdom. And of course, I'm sure Dr. Pennington would agree with me, with the coming of Jesus, the kingdom has been inaugurated and has now begun. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has an entire series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. In one of his sermons, he says, half our troubles are due to the fact that we live on the assumption that this is the only life and the only world. Of course, we know that is not true, but there is a great difference between knowing a thing and really being governed and guided by that knowledge in our ordinary life and outlook. And I think he's right on as well. And lastly, this Packer quote, the Holy Spirit's main ministry is not to give thrills, but to create in us Christ-like character. What will that look like? It will look a bit different than the kind of character that all of those who live as if God does not matter would do, and the way that they would think, the way that they would believe, the things that they would value. So let me pray. Lord, thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for these Beatitudes as we start to enter into those, Lord. I pray for each and every one of us that will do it with eyes wide open, heart wide open. Holy Spirit, that you indeed would come and speak to us. Fill us with wisdom. Give us a clearer vision of your truth, a greater faith in your power, and a more confident a sense of your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's study. Take a moment to leave a review and share this episode with friends and family. You can stay connected by signing up for our newsletter or follow us on social media. At the Village Chapel, we believe God's Word is unique in its source, timeless in its truth, broad in its reach, and transforming in its power. For more resources or to support our ministry, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com.